A very good morning to you, my dear listener. Very good morning to you, Namibia. Welcome to your favorite radio station, Eagle FM, your 24/7, you know, talk radio station. So thank you, David, for handing over the mic to this side of the world. We're coming to you live and direct, and we're coming to you from the Ondango studio, from the Oshana, the mighty Oshana region. So very good morning to you, and welcome. It's good to have you. Thanks for joining us at this time, and it's good to have you. It's always our pleasure to have you in our company. All right, my name is Mike Oshaveni, and this is Unpacking the Day. So your daily dose of what is really going on in terms of business, economics, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear. We keep it clear here, and always curious, asking the question that matter, and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. So we are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space, and this is your platform to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories with me here. So as usual, what we do, we go back into history. The history of Africa. We look on a specific date. We're looking on that date. On this day, we go back to on this day in Africa. So good morning, my dear fellow African, and my dear listeners, wherever you find yourself, you know, welcome to another segment on this day in Africa. So today is the 9th of April. It carries heavy but important history of the African continent. Now let's start in Tunisia, where today is observed as Martyrs' Day. You know, every year on this day, Tunisian pause to honor the men and women who lost their lives fighting against French colonial rule. Now, the story behind this day goes back to 1938, when Tunisian nationalists took to the street, boldly demanding independence from France. Now, what followed was a really brutal crackdown. You know, lives were lost, but the spirit of resistance only grew stronger. And that moment became a defining chapter in the Tunisia long road to freedom, which is eventually won in 1956. So today, across the country, people remember and pay their respect. So now, let's move to, we go to Sudan, where something extraordinary happened on this day in 2019. So what happened in 2019? Just hold on. Okay. So what happened in 2019? After months of mass protests, ordinary people flooding the street, day after day, and the tide actually, then the tide finally, you know, turned. On the 9th of April, the pressure reached a breaking point, and it wasn't long before Omar al-Bashir, the Sudan president has been in power for almost 30 years. He was then removed from power. Now, al-Bashir headroom. This is one of the presidents that have, you know, who have ruled with an iron fist for many, many, many years. So, and this fall sent a really shockwave across the region. So it was a pivotal moment, a sign that the will of the people could indeed bring about the real political change. Now, Sudan entered a period of transition, and while that journey had been far from easy, that April day remained a landmark in the nation's history. All right, so that actually for today, that all what we have for you, my dear listener. And yeah, it's what happened on this day in Africa. So until tomorrow, so make sure that you tuned in for another date on the African calendar. All right, today is April the 9th, Thursday, April the 9th. So what is our thought for the day? So yeah, today's proverb says, an empty hand does not kill a snake. An empty hand does not kill a snake. Okay? So in a very, how would I say it? In a simple word, this reminds us that danger is not defeated by a wishful thinking, you know? You need something in your hand. And to deal with the problems of this life, you know, to deal with the life problems, you need to, you know, you need courage, you need wisdom, you need planning, the right tools, you know, to deal with life's problem. Now, whether it is a challenge at work, a problem at home, or a difficult decision you have to make, you don't just walk in empty-handed. You know, prepare yourself, think carefully, and act wisely. So because in life, problems do not disappear just because we are afraid of them. They are dealt with when we are ready to face them. So this is our thought for the day. But whatever decision you're making today, whatever choices you're making in life today, be prepared, be alert, and be equipped. An empty hand does not kill a snake. That's our thought for the day this morning. All right. So welcome. If you're just joining us, you are just in the queue. You're just in the door in a class. So please do come in and get on board. Okay? You're not late, as I said yesterday. You're a boss. You are the boss. You're not late. You're just delayed. But you are here. All right? So today the show is very, very, very packed and very juicy as well. Okay? Packed and juicy. You don't miss this. Don't miss a moment. If you miss a moment, you lost out. You really lose out. Okay? So we have so many things coming up on the show this morning. Make sure that you stay tuned in. We're going to look at, you know, we're going to look at what the president have said yesterday. According to President Netumbonandi Ndaitwa, Namibia's economy expanded to 270 billion over the past 5 years. So, and it has been supported by the increase in tax collection and also strategic mining growth. So we're going to look at that. So we're going to touch on that a little bit before we get to our interview. We have two interviews this morning. So one is coming up in a short while, from 8:30, just in a few minutes, 8:30 to 9 o'clock, we will have my colleague HD, will have an interview on financing businesses in a green industry. So he will be talking to a senior financial analyst about the financial green initiatives. Make sure that you tune into that at in just a few minutes at 8:30, and that goes up to 9 o'clock. All right. So, and at 9 o'clock, so we will have an We also have got an interview, and this is with Dr. Walenga on Azolla. Azolla is it's a rapidly reproducing kind of biofertilizer, if you like, you know, that costing almost nothing to grow and is emerging as a sustainable alternative to expensive livestock feed. So make sure that you tune in for those interviews that are coming up later.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
All right, yes, that's very true. The UNAM, you know, make sure that, you know, wherever you find yourself, make application to UNAM, you know, because you want to find yourself in one of the best institutions in the country. So, and wherever you find yourself, stay connected with Eagle FM anytime, anywhere, and you can do that, you know, by... you can listen to us from Eagle FM website. Whether you get into the office and you're not listening to from your radio anymore, get in the office, open your laptop or your computer. You can be able to listen to us from the website as well. But the most important, then download the Eagle FM mobile app, and then you can actually download from the mobile app through Google Play and Play Store. And well, from there, voila, you can, you know, listen to us from anywhere, anytime, you know, of your choice. So make sure that you do that. And, yeah. All right. Welcome. So, yeah, yesterday, the president, Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, delivered a State of Nation address in Windhoek, in the capital. All right. And right at the heart of her speech was a big, big, bold claim, you know, big, bold claim. Namibia's economy has grown from 190 billion to 270 billion over the past 5 years. So, yeah, that is a jump. That's a jump of 80 billion, you know, now. So before we get excited, before we start to celebrate, okay? You know what we do on this show. So let us do what we do best on this show. Let us unpack that number. And we unpack the numbers. Let's unpack that number, question that number, and see what it really means. What it means for you, okay? What it means for me, the people of the ground. Okay? What does that number really mean? All right? Now, the big number, what is 270 billion, really? What is it, really? Okay? So, the economy now, so it means that the economy is now worth 270 billion. Okay? That sounds impressive, you know? It really, really sounds impressive, but let us break it down in a way that makes sense. Okay? When you have this, this big number, you know, when you just hear it, it sounds impressive, but let's put it to pieces, okay? Or let's bring in some factors to really understand whether what that actually mean. Yeah, so now, think of Namibia has a population of, Namibia has about 3.1 million people. Now, when you divide 270 billion by 3.1 million, you get 87,000 per person. Imagine if that was given to each one of you. Okay, the budget comes in. That should be the way how we do it. Okay, the budget comes in and we said, okay, everybody, you're gonna get your share. All right, so you get your share and you see what you can do. You can see what you can do with that money. So each one would actually get roughly around 87,000 per person. No, what I'm trying to say here is that that is the nominal GDP per capita. The 87,000 would be the nominal GDP per capita. Now, on a paper, and for an African country, that's really, that's honestly decent. That's very, very impressive. Yeah. But here is the thing, okay? Now we have to look at, now when we all know that the, we all know that the averages, when you talk about averages, can be really misleading sometimes, okay? So when you have, now think of when you have a Gini coefficient of around 0.59, one of the highest in the entire world. So it means the wealth, so even the wealth that you talk about, because we're saying we're rich, because that's what we're announcing. So when we're announcing that we are 207 billion, we are rich. So that wealth that we're saying we are rich, it's highly concentrated at the top. You know? So it means that the wealth is concentrated at the top. So the average doesn't really tell you the story of, you know, it doesn't tell you the story of the mother in Hangwena, who is actually struggling to put food on the table. Nor does it tell you about the young person, the young graduate in Rundu, for example, with a degree and has no job. He doesn't tell you that. And let's not forget Namibia still has an overall unemployment rate sitting at about, you know, 36.9%. And the youth unemployment around 44%. And as we looked at the data, and as I always tell you, numbers don't lie. It's still going up. That is nearly, when we talk about 44%, that's nearly one in two young Namibian who cannot find work. One in two. When you see a young person there, it's like one in two. Young Namibian cannot find work. That's how serious that is. All right? So now the World Bank, now I want you to put this in perspective. As I said, well, hold on, don't just celebrate. Put this in perspective. So the World Bank project poverty to remain higher at around 27.5% this year. 27.5%. So when the economy grows to 270 billion, now the real question we should be asking is, you know, is who is actually feeling that growth? Are you feeling that growth? Who is actually feeling that growth? Is it reaching the people who need it most? Is that growth reaching the people who need it most? Or is it staying in the hands of the few? So you remember when I talked about the coefficient, Gini coefficients of around 0.59, you know, one of the highest in the entire world, on the planet. So, which means the wealth is concentrated at the top. Now, let's talk about what the president called one of the proudest achievements, tax revenue. The number shows that tax collection went from 55 billion 5 years ago to 76 billion now. That is a compound growth rate of about 9% per year. Okay? And it put our tax to GDP ratio of 30.5%. Okay? 30.5%. And to tell you the truth, the president actually said this is among the highest on the continent. And she's right about that. It's among the highest on the continent. Namibia has indeed top Africa's tax to GDP rankings for two consecutive years. This is according to the what is this? According to the, how do you call this? Yeah, according to the African Tax Administration Forum, if I got it right. Yeah, yeah, it's African Tax Administration Forum. So Namibia has topping Africa tax to GDP ranking for two consecutive years. So it's right that we are among the highest on the continent. But my friend, let us think about this carefully now. A higher tax to GDP ratio is only good news if that money comes back to you in the form of now, if it comes back to you in the form of services, in the form of infrastructure, in the form of hospital, schools, opportunities. Eh? It's only good news when it comes to you in the form of that. Now, the question we need to debate this morning is simple. It's very simple. Are you seeing the result of that 76 billion in your daily life? Are you seeing in your daily lives? Are you seeing that wealth? Are you much richer off than what you were yesterday, than what you were last year? Are the roads better? That's the question. Are the roads better or are they becoming deteriorated? We had the best road network in the world, in Africa, but, well, according to RCC, the report is that the roads are deteriorating. Are the roads much better now? Are the hospitals well stocked with medicine? Are our children getting the quality education they deserve? Now, if we're saying we are rich, because when you're talking about that growth, you're saying we are rich. Eh? So, and if the government is collecting more tax than almost any other African country, because if we're saying we are among the highest on the continent, it's all well and good to celebrate that. Okay? It's all well and good to celebrate. If we're saying we are the highest on the continent, you know? So if we're collecting more tax than almost any other African country, then Namibia have a right. Namibians have every right to demand world-class, and I'm saying world-class, world-class public services. Eh? In return, we have a right to demand that, because we are collecting tax than almost any other African country. Eh? We are the highest on the continent. So we have the right to demand world-class public services in return. That is the social contract that we have with the government. And it must work both ways. It should work both ways. If we're the highest on the continent, so that means we should get world-class public services. This is like, you know that an uncle, maybe not an uncle, may could be a father, anyone, you know this guy, like somebody who boasts that, you know, I'm so rich. Okay? The person is boasting that they are rich. But their children are actually suffering. Their children are suffering, are dying of hunger, you know. The people, there are poverty at home where he's, you know, he's saying he's rich, but but your people are dying of hunger. So that's what I'm saying. Yeah, as much when we celebrate then to say we are the highest in terms of growth and all that, that should be translated into the real life of people. And is that the case? Being realistic. Yeah, I'm not a politician, you know. If you are a politician, you can talk about, you know. Yeah, this is what we have done and all. I'm looking at the data and exactly the, okay. So we are going to cross over to Windhoek. This is the story we follow, when we come back, and hopefully around, we come back around 9 o'clock, and we get to the conversation with Tatewalanga as well, with Azola, All right. Make sure that you tune in for that. I'm crossing to Windhoek now, to my colleague, HD. So for an interview that's coming up. Okay. Stay tuned.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much to Tate Mike for the handover. I'm now joined by two special guests in the studio. That is Mr. Ndilo and Ms. Nita. Mr. Ndilo is from Belichick's SME Financing, and Ms. Nita is from the Namibia Business Angel Network. Ndilo and Nita, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Andy. Cold.
Yes, yes.
I don't know about Ndilo, but...
likewise. Time.
It's a little bit chilly, but we're good.
Gloomy morning in the capital.
Yeah.
So let's get right into it.
Mm-hmm.
For Nita, for the listeners hearing about the Namibia Business Angel Network, or NABAN for short, for the first time,
mm-hmm.
what is this network and what role does it play in Namibia's startup ecosystem?
So NABAN, in short and in full, the Namibia Business Angel Network is really a group of Namibian individuals
mm-hmm.
across different sectors and different professions who are passionate about the Namibian startup ecosystem. And how they came to build the network is kind of realizing that one of the biggest pain points for Namibian startup founders and mm-hmm. Namibian businesses in general is financing.
Mm-hmm.
The inability to fund your venture in terms of doing market research, in terms of expanding your team, just the different elements that capacitate you to grow and scale.
Mm-hmm.
So, these individuals with a little extra in their pocket on occasion, decided to say, hey, let's pool together and co-invest where possible. Let's create this platform that allows founders to also have community,
mm-hmm.
To come and pitch and see if it's possible for us to invest and help them to grow and scale their ventures.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's a great initiative, because financing for businesses, startups is a big topic here on Eagle FM. Almost every hour we get someone calling in talking about financing problems in
the money.
In the business community. So NABAN recently hosted its first pitch event of the year in partnership with Belichick's.
Yes.
So tell us a bit about this special green finance edition and what made it, you know, different to the others.
Yeah. So one of the network's recurring initiatives is our quarterly pitch events.
Okay.
So those happen every 2 to 3 months. And we have an open call to the public. They can apply. Our secretariat shortlists a top 3 to top 5, depending on the quality and strength of applications.
Mm-hmm.
And they come onto our platform to pitch. Right.
Okay.
What was a bit different about this one was, not beyond the theme, of course, we mm-hmm. don't usually have themed quarterly pitch events, was that in partnership with Belichick Capital, so that's Belichick SME Finance, Belichick Investment Managers, mm-hmm. as well as Belichick Green Finance,
mm-hmm.
we really wanted to be intentional about calling on entrepreneurs who are in the green finance and sustainable spaces, to allow them the opportunity not only to come and pitch, but also to potentially get access to Belichick Green Finance's impact facility.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to go too deep into what that is, and Ndilo will come and speak on it later, but in essence, that's what made this edition a bit different from the others.
Mm-hmm.
I think our community would also have picked it up that, oh, this was like themed.
Yeah.
Because normally we allow applications from all different sectors or industries.
Okay.
As long as the business is operational and generating some sort of revenue. But yeah, that's kind of what made it a bit different this
excellent,
time.
Excellent, excellent. So, speaking of this event, what, stood out to you most from this mm-hmm. event, whether it's in terms of the response, the quality of applications, or the businesses that, came forward and pitched their ideas?
I think this was one of our strongest editions yet.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because of the specific focus on green finance, oriented businesses to say. And as much as when you theme an event or an initiative, you might seem to be locking out a certain group.
Yeah.
I think when you're specific and focused, it is also beneficial because it allowed for us to get a huge influx of applications, but also very high quality ones because we sort of changed the application process and made the questions a bit more comprehensive
mm-hmm.
to ensure that if someone is applying, it's somebody that's actually genuinely interested,
yeah.
somebody who is prepared, somebody who's ready, who's got the documentation, sort of just preset and loaded.
Yeah.
Because the idea was that every sort of founder who applied for this pitch edition
mm-hmm.
would then also be sifted off and shared with Bellatrix Green Finance for assessment.
Okay.
And this assessment specifically would be either for debt financing of up to 2 million
mm-hmm.
Namibian dollars or equity financing of up to 6 million Namibian dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw a huge influx. So there was definitely an increase in responses. The quality was also really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if one attended the event last month, you would have seen by how engaged the investors and the audience in general were.
Yeah.
So I think it was overall a 10 out of 10 edition. I'm not saying the past ones were bad. I'm just saying this one was specifically in its own right, really, really good. Yeah. And that is in part again to Bellatrix. I think I failed to mention earlier on that apart from partnering with the network on this specific pitch event, Bellatrix Capital is also the network's current anchor sponsor for the next 3 years.
Okay.
So that means that Bellatrix has so graciously taken on the role of supporting the entire backbone of the network. So all initiatives over the next 3 years
mm-hmm.
will be, like I said, so graciously taken care of by Bellatrix Capital. So I think that's a huge thing that
mm-hmm.
outside of their world of investment, and I know it's such a busy space, I think if anyone is operating in the space, for them to see that there's this need within the startup ecosystem.
Yes.
And also because a lot of their clientele or a lot of their deals come from this ecosystem. So in strengthening that space, I think Bellatrix Capital only stands to benefit. So a huge shout out to Bellatrix Capital.
Excellent, excellent. Yes. And to everyone listening, as Nita said in the beginning of our answer, you have to be ready to receive this money. They're not just handing out money for free.
Precisely.
So, Mr. Ndilo, Mr. Fire.
Good morning.
Tell us a bit about Bellatrix and why supporting platforms like this matters to the work that you guys do.
Okay. So Bellatrix is a financial service provider,
mm-hmm.
A subsidiary of Bellatrix Capital. But what we fundamentally do is finance these MSMEs and smaller businesses.
Mm-hmm.
But to give obviously some quick background, we fall under three different divisions. So
okay.
I work for Bellatrix Green Finance
mm-hmm.
and that particular function falls under the EIF. Okay. So there's funding that comes from that direction.
That's the Environmental Investment Fund.
Yes, that's
okay.
correct.
Mm-hmm.
And, obviously just to relate to what Anita was talking about, we focus on those projects now that mm. sort of fall under the mandate of green finance.
Yeah.
So we are dealing in the unlisted space. We basically take on the majority of these businesses
mm-hmm.
that fall under that mandate. And this could be from existing businesses to startups, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And we obviously are now partnered with NABA and sponsoring this event because mm-hmm. it actually fills this pipeline.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are part of our ecosystem. So how it basically works for us is by sponsoring an event like this, you tend to have already matured and established businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives at least quicker access to capital for those who are confident enough to already speak about their business,
yeah.
share their progress, et
yeah.
cetera. we are planning on actually contacting everybody and just sort of trying to assist the general public, all the applicants in what they're doing. Because the narrative of these type of events is to encourage participation.
Yes.
We really want people to at least try, so that the response that you get and gives you this hindsight now that you can go and remedy. Most people think they're not good enough. Mm-hmm. They sit at home. They never ever launch. They never apply. And they never find out where they've gone wrong.
So even if, you know, you don't, for whatever reason, you don't get access to the funds, you still benefit in one way or the other.
Yes. And fundamentally, I mean, these are one of the most affordable loans in the country. It's not punitive. It's not the same as the rest of the banking sector. So we're trying to encourage everyone. But yes, just to obviously give the background on Bellatrix. Sorry, I just went to the side there. There are other service offerings. So Bellatrix Capital is the group in itself. And you have SME Finance. They do procurement projects. So that's people with financing arrangements, purchase orders, tenders, etc. And then investment managers. So for people who actually want to invest in put their money in a particular savings vehicle.
Yeah,
we offer that as well. And it's this interconnected network where we try and assist you as much as we can. So if my division can't help you, we do tend to see if there's other options available in the other subsidiaries. But back to Naban and Bellatrix Green Finance, that sole focus is to guide, because we are not necessarily just an institution. We also mentor you as well. So you would, say, apply for a loan. It would come with assistance. So let's say in that particular industry that you're in, you might not be as experienced as you're supposed to be. So we would provide you with that capacity.
Excellent. Now, this term, green finance, I already know people when they hear green finance, they immediately think green hydrogen, they're thinking recycling, solar panels, things like that. So it can mean different things to different people. In practical terms, what does green finance mean, and what kind of businesses would qualify for this green financing vehicle?
All right. Green finance is basically the financial approach that's focused on generating a positive environmental outcome. Okay, so to put that in layman's terms, it's, can you create value with something you can regrow or put back rather than just continue taking? So you're not damaging the environment. So that mandate is not necessarily as strict as people think it is. There is definitely room to sort of work your way in there. We're not trying to discourage people. So I can give you an example. Somebody who makes peanut butter is basically adding value from something that's renewable. You can regrow it. You can wait for the next harvest. So what usually falls under that is now the renewable energy. You've got this sustainable agriculture. So that's obviously a farmer who's growing, harvesting, repeating the cycle. You've got the recycling, people who are going to landfills. Picking up plastic. You know, and reprocessing it and refurbishing it into something else. You've even got the biomass sector. So people with farms, with communal land that want to chop down that biomass and make charcoal out of it. It will return in a few years for you to redo that. So it's not, you're not necessarily damaging the environment, clearing land for cattle, etc. So that's where a bit of that confusion comes from. The sustainability now falls into, it's not just that, it's a more broader concept. So we're talking about governance. So it's environmental, social governance. So they would say ESG, but they fall under that umbrella. But the loans in themselves don't just fall under that particular.
So as long as you can prove your business is has some component of sustainability, you more than likely will qualify for this, for these funds.
Mandate to qualify for the application, that's not really the issue. We want to make sure that you are actually sound to take on the money. We don't want to burden you with debt.
So the Green Impact Facility, please tell us a little bit more about this, and you know what it is, who it is for, and the kind of financing or support that is available with this facility.
Okay, so it's a blended finance facility from the EIF, so that's the Environmental Investment Fund, and basically its focus is on youth entrepreneurs. mm-hmm. that are basically doing what I just spoke about, where mm. you are in a business that's not damaging the environment.
Mm-hmm.
You are using, you know, what's abundant to you, but without necessarily taking too much
yeah.
and giving back. Mm-hmm. So it was created by the EIF, and they are, they're basically having it mandated under two fund managers.
Okay.
Yes. So that funding allocation falls under that facility.
Excellent.
Yes.
And, so for entrepreneurs considering outside funding, what should they have in place before approaching Belichix or any other investor or funder? What do they need to have prepared?
I want to know that.
When they come to you?
Preferably the necessary documentation. So there's regular KYC where it's your, registered company documents, your
mm-hmm.
ID,
mm-hmm.
Your KYC stuff. So it's, as I mentioned, just MSME certificates, tax mm-hmm. clearances, et cetera, because they're actually all interlinked. I could run into examples as to what would happen if your tax wasn't up to date.
Yeah.
Mm. You could be importing equipment and it could be withheld.
Yeah.
Yes. Just to, yeah. So you tend to want to have something that's usually overlooked actually, up to date.
Mm-hmm.
And fundamentally, it's your expectations. The business plan needs to be sound. This is where yeah. most of the entrepreneurs struggle.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to, so somebody who's not experienced in coming up with a business plan would struggle to make one, and they're not either getting the assistance that they need,
mm-hmm.
and they tend to miss some stuff. And 60%, say from the way we process documents, is made up of the financial information.
Yeah.
We want to know how you plan on making this particular product, how much it costs you, mm-hmm. And how much it costs for you to actually keep your business running.
Exactly.
So, continue.
Sorry.
Yes, but fundamentally, it's your expectations. Mm-hmm. And I say this because a person starting with a relatively small loan should not expect to earn that much at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sort of a double-edged sword. You'd rather take out a small amount of debt so that if things do not go to plan, you only owe a small amount.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rather than the other way around.
Yeah. Yes. So it's good to dream big, but, you know, be realistic with
with
what's going to happen. And, for founders who want to stay ready for future opportunities, maybe future pitch events, what advice would you leave them with? What would you tell them?
I would tell them to focus on the key information. So now, all of the tools are available. Everything's mm-hmm. on the internet. Even if you're not somebody with a financial background, you could literally simulate the environment too.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you technically don't have an excuse. So it's back to incentives. It's to scaling slowly. It's to presenting. So even if you struggle to speak, you could just speak on key points. Mm-hmm. First, it's not supposed to feel like a job.
Mm.
You get up there and you're talking about your business because it's your business.
Exactly.
It's not something, a script you need to write. It should be something you should be able to answer from the top of your head.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So that confidence is sort of what we're looking for. So character is usually the one thing you cannot actually change in somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can learn, but you cannot alter one's character.
Exactly.
So that's usually what we would like someone to show at the beginning, what their intentions are, what drives a person. So when you get up on stage, what was your actual purpose when you got there? Can you see the vision to your project?
Mm-hmm.
People
basically they need to show belief in their project. Cause I mean,
conviction.
If the founder doesn't believe, why, why should the people with the money believe?
Yes. As the institution lending you the funds, we are not in the business of convincing you to continue.
Yeah, exactly.
You came to us for assistance. So yes, that's the primary one I would go for.
Mm-hmm.
But that character one, your capacity. Most people aren't in a position to do what they want to do. So that means the money that you're asking for, you're actually not ready.
Yeah.
To pull off your project. But if you show that conviction to learn, I think we're for it. Everyone is for it. That's the purpose of funds of this nature.
100%.
Yeah, we actually want to grow you. That's why it's coaching and mentorship as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And lastly, how can our listeners stay connected to Nabun and hear about future pitch events and or other related opportunities?
I'll go ahead and assume that one's for me.
Yes, ma'am.
So the network is active on social media platforms.
Mm-hmm.
So we're active on Facebook, on Instagram, and on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a YouTube page, because for past pitch events, we have recorded them.
Okay.
A lot of first-time pitchers or first-time founders kind of want to get an idea, especially if you're not in Vintook and you want to keep up with the events.
Mm-hmm.
So you can check out our YouTube as well to see what we've done with our past pitch events and our past Startup Success Series events. So that's an initiative I didn't speak on, but the Startup Success Series is essentially a discussion platform.
Mm-hmm.
So another thing that we realized with the network is that business owners don't really have community. I don't have a place where I can go and share my concerns. I can meet like-minded people. I can find out how do I access financing like Bellatrix's impact facility.
Yeah.
Or how do I grow a really robust team that supports all the specific areas that my business needs.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially for the Startup Success Series, the different editions, we pick a theme. We invite speakers from across the industry, as well as a keynote that's very interconnected to the theme,
yeah,
to allow people to come learn and engage. But it also gives the audience, the community, to come in and say, hey, I don't agree with this, or to ask a question and inquire. So our next edition is actually this month, at the end of this month,
mm-hmm,
on April 23rd. So information will come out for that either tomorrow, if not next week, Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I know some people had already been emailing, so that's coming out soon. Just stay tuned to our platforms. And of course, the next pitch event, you can also see information about that on the platform when the applications open.
Yeah.
And we widely encourage you to apply and come and share your ideas. I think it's very beneficial. Most people's first thought is that if I go and pitch, somebody's going to steal my idea.
Mm-hmm.
But if you never speak about it, it'll never be able to come into the light of day and grow,
yeah,
and flourish, and for you to connect with the people that can help you get from point A to point Z.
Exactly.
So we try to really encourage founders to, if you know you've got that gap in capacity or in resources,
mm-hmm,
come and apply and come and see what happens when you speak on stage. Because I think if you have attended one of our events, we've got a very strong community at the core,
mm-hmm,
and sometimes you'll come and pitch but you might not get investment, but there's somebody in the room who's like, hey, I know that in this part of the value chain you're struggling to get this particular resource,
mm-hmm,
and this is the area in which I deal.
Yeah.
Let's connect and see how I can help you out. Or I know you're looking for a manufacturer for this particular piece,
mm-hmm,
in your overall components or whatever the case may be, reach out to me. I know somebody who can do it for you at a much cheaper rate.
Yeah.
So if you follow us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube, you will get the entire ecosystem of all of that information. And then one more thing I want to plug just in the green finance theme of things, mm-hmm, is that one of our sister entities within the ecosystem, Basecamp Business Incubator, is hosting a launch next, okay, week, Monday, for the Agripreneurial Innovation Challenge.
Okay.
And again, this just speaks to the green finance focus theme of things. The idea is to encourage innovators within agriculture across Namibia to apply to the challenge. The specific information will be shared at the launch on Monday. And see if you can get funding, if you can get coaching and mentorship, like Ndilo mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything is finance focused as much as we want it to be for,
yeah,
for our founders. Sometimes you need to just sit in a room and listen and be able to gain something that could then maybe help you get financing in the future.
Yeah.
So that's free to the public. If you check out Basecamp on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn as well, you will get that information and you can RSVP to attend the launch next week, Monday.
Excellent, excellent. I can definitely attest to what Anita just spoke about in regards to, you know, the information exchange. Some of the people pitching, I wouldn't be privy to if they got funding or not, but I could see and hear about how they were exchanging information with people in the room, being assisted in certain areas, getting advice on certain things that maybe the founders didn't think about. So it's a great sort of end-to-end initiative.
If I could just chime in there, I think the last thing I'd want to close with is sometimes just sitting in that room, even just as the organizer of these platforms and these events,
mm-hmm,
is that it starts to rub off on you.
Yeah.
Running a business is not a walk in the park. It's not, mm-hmm, something that you just wake up and decide to do and you're suddenly successful overnight.
Mm-hmm.
These are real human beings on the other side of brilliant concepts that, mm-hmm, have tried and tried and failed and continue to believe in themselves and show up. So hopefully that's also just a reminder to anybody in the room, anybody who's also listening, that take a chance on yourself and do what is sitting in your mind idle for like months, if not years, the worst thing that could happen is that you fail.
Yeah.
And then you pick yourself up and move from that again, as well. I don't know if Ndilo has something to add to that.
Yeah. The worst thing could happen, but, there are precautions in place. I think when I spoke there at this recent event, there was a massive, follow up to collateral. People kept on going and saying that do you actually need collateral to come and apply to us? And I said, in the case, depending on your personal situation, if you don't, it's still fine. Mm-hmm. There are facilities in place to make up that space for collateral. So I think that's just the one thing, just to chime in on what Nita's talking about, because people are discouraged to apply because they believe that they need collateral. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of misinformation going around. Mm. And I'd just like to clarify that.
And that's exactly why we have you guys in here today. So thank you very much for your time, Dila and Nita. And
thank you, Hendy.
We'll be sure to inform the people about the coming events.
Brilliant. Thank you.
And have a good morning further.
Thank you for having us.
All right.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipuranenge lo wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukulile Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala onongeshe fa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafasa na longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwen.
All right, welcome back, welcome back. And that was HT Hunter talking to my colleague in Windhoek, talking to Anita and Mr. Ntilo about the financing green initiatives. So, well, we only have about 3 minutes before we get to our next interview again. So, yeah, if you are quick and you want to just. Or maybe you can come later on if you want to react on that interview. And we will have a few minutes later after the next interview. And then if you want to react on that, you will be welcome to come through and do that. So, yeah, hang on. We're going to get we will have another interview coming up. And stay tuned. We will be back in a second. All right.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafata na nana longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Zeitha nina omayaguro ni randitoma yoe yonge shifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa letu. Moambo denda seoma kona raheta tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back, and thanks for tuning in, and welcome back to Unpacking the Day. Now, if you are a farmer in Namibia, you know the stress, you know the dry season, you know the pain of watching your livestock go hungry when grazing dries up. And if you definitely know, and you definitely know the shock of looking at the price of feed at the agro dealers. But what if the answer to our stock feed problem isn't in the bag from South Africa? So what if it is growing right on top of a small pool of water, you know, doubling in size every few days and packing more protein than that expensive commercial feed? Now, today we are talking about Azolla. It sounds like a magic trick, but it is a real green floating organic product. So now, to tell us how it works in the real Namibian diet, we have a local farmer, Tate John Walenga, on the line. Mr. Walenga, welcome to the show and good morning to you.
Good morning, Tate Mike, and thank you for having me on your program.
So, Tate Walenga, so for our listeners who have never heard of it, who have never heard of Azolla, so what is exactly Azolla?
Well, first, let me thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah.
And also count you among the experts on Azolla because your introduction is just breathtaking. It's exactly what Azolla is, your introduction.
I need to know what I'm going to ask you, really. So I have to familiarize myself. What is this Azolla all about, you know?
No, I'm actually trying to say thank you for having done your homework on the product.
Yeah.
Normally you get people interviewing you, but they are just shooting in the dark.
Yeah.
I appreciate it because that will also help to keep me in check, eh?
Yeah.
For me not to exaggerate too much.
Definitely.
No, on your question, what is Azolla?
Yeah.
It's very simple. It's partly the way you have explained it.
Mm.
That yes, it's an aquatic fern, tiny one for that matter.
Yeah.
And yes, it grows on just floating on in a pond or a dam,
mm-hmm.
or even in the normal water basket.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
yeah.
It can grow anywhere.
Okay.
And the beauty of it is the fact that it doesn't require too much space for you to grow it.
Yeah.
It's like maybe. For what it's worth, let me give you how we bank, the introduction on how we bank into the product. And how we got where we are. Can I do that?
Yeah, sure. You can do that, definitely. Yeah.
I hope that you guys will not regard it as marketing, but we are talking about Azora.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're looking at it as this is an innovation or new innovation a farmer came up with, you know. Yeah, not something that
Thank you
yourself.
Very much.
Yeah, okay, go ahead. Mm.
Thank you very much. No, what happened some 3 years ago,
yeah.
Those of your listeners and followers, they probably know that I'm involved into poultry production, producing eggs and some chicken meat also.
Mm.
The truth is we were hit very much with the higher cost of feed.
Feed. Mm.
As you know that a chicken is one animal which does not stop eating.
Yeah.
The more it eats, the more productive she is. That's the nature of a chicken.
Yeah.
That's why if you have feed in your feed trays.
Yeah.
Or water in your feed trays 24/7, the chicken is not going to sleep.
Mm.
They will eat and drink 24/7. And they will develop heart conditions.
Yeah.
And eventually they die. That's why you have to switch off the lights at some point so that they can sleep.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you cannot deny them feed at all. They will not be productive. That's what we discovered in our 9 years journey of chicken and egg production.
Yeah.
So the feed in Namibia, unfortunately, there is a monopoly. I'm not going to mention the name of the company.
Mm.
Not in our interest, because we are talking about Azola.
Mm.
And yes, in a big way, you also, as we are looking for alternative supply of feed, nowadays we get feed also coming from Zambia. We get feed coming from Botswana.
Mm.
We get feed in a big way also coming from South Africa, as you indicated in your introduction.
Yeah.
Now, the question is, what is a feed? A feed is just a concoction of some ingredients that nature has provided.
Yeah.
And some of this feed we are buying in the shops, unfortunately, they are not organic. What they do, they mix it with expensive synthetic inputs.
Yeah.
Hence, they justify the cost.
The cost. Mm.
The higher cost of feed, because through or to their credit, most of those synthetic inputs, they export them from as far as China, Ukraine, and Russia.
Yeah.
The reason why feed went up for the past 5 years, almost triple, is because of the war in Ukraine.
Yeah. And given now that there's a war in the Middle East, that's even make it worse. Mm.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So we were forced to research on this product, on alternative feed, basically.
Mm.
That's what we were researching at the farm. And then we bumped into this product called Azola.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, what is this? Then we managed to get 250 grams. That's what we acquired first.
Yeah.
Where we got it from, whether we import it or where it comes from, that's not the issue, my listeners.
Mm.
We acquired 250 grams. And we followed the instruction on how to plant it.
Yeah. Mm.
So We managed to bring it on the farm, and we follow the instruction how to plant it. And the planting is very simple. It's no complications involved.
Yeah.
If you follow the instruction. All what we did, we dug a pond of 2 by 5 meter.
Mm.
2 by 5 meter. The depth was 90 centimeters. The depth.
90 centimeters.
It's only that. You don't need higher depth, by the way.
Mm.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, when I say simple, It's truly simple.
Yeah.
And then what we did after that, you see this line thing you put on top of the foundation when you are building.
Yeah.
The black plastic. That black plastic is what you get. And you put in the pond to cover the pond.
Mm-hmm.
And we put stones on top. Why do you do that? So that the water cannot go deep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have to capture the water.
Mm.
And after that, you put in a little bit of sand at the bottom of the plastic. That time we use, I think, two hands. It's, you can say, maybe 1 liter of sand and 1 liter of fertilizer. And in this case, we used cow dung.
Mm.
You put the, you throw it in. Obviously, it goes at the bottom. Now, the next thing you do is to pour in the azolla.
Yeah.
And from the 250 grams we planted 3 years ago in that manner, today we have about, not ponds even, a dam, which is 1 by 4 kilometers full of azolla. It came from that 250 grams.
Yeah.
And since, okay, sorry.
No, just go on. You're going, yeah. Mm.
Since then, for the past 3 years,
we
have reduced our feed cost by 40%.
40%?
Understand this. Azolla is not a feed to replace foraging, for example.
Yeah.
It's to supplement your feed. So if you allow your cattle and goats, donkeys, sheep to go and forage, it's okay. But you need to supplement it, the feed.
Yeah.
Like us human beings, we eat a variety of diet. The same principle is applicable to your animals.
Yeah.
And the key ingredients to animal growth is a protein-oriented feed. And azolla is from 20% and up to 42% crude protein rich.
Yeah.
It has many other minerals.
Yeah.
But protein is the key one, which is highly required for animal production.
Mm.
We have since seen an improvement in production of up to 20%.
Yeah.
Improve in production. What does it mean? If in a year we were producing, if let's say you have 10 cows, if we were getting 11 out of 20 cows per year, we are now getting almost 100%.
Wow.
Because of crude protein. Where does it come from? From azolla. Because we are giving it as a supplement.
Yeah.
And what we have discovered ourselves, it's always best to give them azolla, to give your animals azolla in the morning before they go and forage. That is now on animals.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I can guarantee you is this. On the let me talk about, that is the animals.
Yeah.
That is what is called ruminant feed.
Yeah.
It's for the animals, for the big ones. Then you come to chicken. The chicken is anytime you can actually give them azolla.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Yeah.
Of the day. However, what I can warn you on is this. If you don't have enough azolla and you feed them once, the animal, they register the time. They get certain things.
So,
if you miss that time to give them azolla, they will refuse to eat anything else.
So You need to have it all the time, you know?
You need to have it all the time on your farm.
Mm. So is it something that really that animal get to love and
they
would
so much and what we are saying now, what I'm saying now, I'm not selling or promoting drinks. It's something that we have experienced on the farm.
Now when it comes, Namibia is a very it's a dry country and I guess it requires a lot of water. So how much water does it really need to survive?
Okay, thank you for that question.
Yeah.
The water we are talking about when you pour in water in the pond, remember it's only 90 centimeters. You only make sure that the water in the pond is up to 70 centimeters.
Yeah.
And what you do, you only top it up on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine? Only once in a week you top it up so that it cannot go too lower.
Yeah.
In order for the, because you need to create space between the ingredients, which is cow dung, which is the fertilizer, and the azolla itself. So that the stems of the azolla does not go too closer to the source.
Mm-hmm.
It has to float. That's why it has to float.
To float, yeah.
Now, the question is, how much does it grow?
Yeah. And that's the other, in terms of growth as well, you mentioned earlier that it's grow fast. How fast are we talking about as well? Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for that question.
Mm.
What we are talking about here is it grows by within 48 hours, double in mass. Within 48 hours.
Wow.
In mass.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no any other feed or animal feed that you can get in the world that is cheaper and fast growing like azolla.
Mm.
Now, what is the closest product or plant to azolla?
Mm.
The closest to azolla in terms of ingredients, it only competes slightly with soya bean.
Uh-huh.
All the feed we are buying here in the shops here, the main ingredient in that feed is soya bean and maize and many other synthetic ingredients.
Yeah.
Now, soya bean, as you know, in Namibia, we don't produce soya bean at all.
Yeah.
Hence, the price of feed is expensive because soya bean, we only get it from Asia and Europe.
And Brazil as well.
You can imagine now with the war in the Middle East, the impact of cost is unimaginable.
Yeah.
So, if you want to mix your feed to do your own feed, you can also do it using azolla. Now, this azolla is not only good for feed animal as a supplement.
Mm.
It also improves, soil condition.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning you can use it as fertilizer. Why as fertilizer? Because naturally, how it grows itself, it feeds from the cow dung, the fertilizer you have put at the bottom, and also pulls nitrogen directly from the sun.
Yeah.
Now, nitrogen is what you need the most to improve your soil condition.
Yeah.
Hence, that's an organic fertilizer on its own.
Mm.
Ne?
Yeah.
But the key thing for a farmer, it replaces and it cuts your feed bills by 40%. In our experience, that's what we have experienced so far.
Yeah. And also, I think earlier on you mentioned nutrition and how does the nutrition of azolla actually, when you compare that to the standard feed we buy in the shop now, do you see that difference really?
No, the difference is huge.
Yeah.
I'm saying, number one, this is right in your pond from your farm.
Yeah.
You just go in there and scoop and give it directly to the animal.
To animal. Mm.
Yeah. So it's organic. It's inexpensive.
Yeah.
The second thing, this is, there is no any other synthetic input. It's organic. I'm emphasizing on the organic aspect of it because that's what you need.
Yeah.
Because that also improves, it gives a different taste to the meat you are producing because it's natural.
Yeah.
Remember the reason why our beef, Namibian beef, is in higher demand in elsewhere in the world. It's because of what? It's because we grow them organically, naturally.
Yeah.
So in order for your animal to grow naturally also, it goes without saying that you must give it natural feed.
Yeah.
Now, this is not about Walenga has research on the product. It's about you and I to protect our wealth.
Mm. Mm.
The problem with us is, I hate to use color, but in this case, I'm forced to.
Yeah.
The problem with us, Black Namibians, we don't regard and treasure our animals as an investment.
Yeah.
You must look after your investment and make sure that it's in a healthy condition that you can sell it anytime you are in need of funding for one reason or another. Because the reason why we keep animals is for the animals to be able to help us whenever we find ourselves in a challenging situation financially.
Yeah.
Either slaughter it and start selling meat or sell it.
Mm-hmm.
So it must always be in a healthy condition because what is happening normally from June to the next rainy season.
Yeah.
Our animals in our villages, you can't sell them because they are what? Mm-hmm. They are nanga.
Yeah, exactly. So
it also adds weight. Remember, protein is about strength.
Yeah.
So it also stabilizes the weight of your animal, Azola.
Is it also something that, okay, maybe I'm asking from also, you know, this is a new thing. Can it be also harvested and installed somehow, or it should be just fresh on the ponds all the time?
No, it can. Thank you for that question. There is nothing like a stupid question, as they say.
Yeah.
Ask them. Where I can, I will be able to answer maybe.
Yeah.
But that's a beautiful question. That's now another angle for Azola.
Yeah.
You can actually preserve it.
Mm-hmm.
You harvest it, dry it.
Yeah.
First you harvest and wash it.
Yeah.
After washing it, you sun dry it just in the sun.
Yeah.
On a net or anything. Dry it, bag it.
Yeah.
You preserve it and it can be preserved for 3 years without any problem.
Yeah.
Now, somebody was asking, can I use Azola the same as Lucerne, for example?
Yeah.
Or other supplements?
Yeah.
By all means, it's a supplement.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly for that purpose. But the only difference here is you are not comparing an apple to an apple.
Yeah.
There is no any other food supplement in the market, in the world, highly nutritious than Azola.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other one which is close. Okay. Sorry,
and you also mentioned, you know, in terms of how it make a difference in terms of the milk and the meat. Maybe just a little bit of emphasis on there.
Those who are in milk production, for example.
Yeah.
It improves your production to anything up to 20%, 30% actually, the milk production in your animals.
Yeah.
And improve the meat quality of your animals.
Yeah.
By anything up to 30% because of the protein content.
Yeah.
So there is nothing, I'm emphasizing on that, comparable to Azora in the world, not in Namibia, in the world. That's why Azora is regarded as black gold in other societies.
So now, for a farmer listening now, right now, who is probably struggling with a feed cost, is this, and I'm asking you definitely it is doable, and I'm asking, is this doable by anybody, by any farm, even on a small scale, small farmers, farmers on a small scale?
In fact, it's primarily for that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It's doable. It can be done by anybody, anytime.
Yeah.
Because your input are almost next to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Your input is, as I explained at the beginning, that you only dug a pond, 2 by 5 meters. That's what I did. Dug it 2 by 5 meters.
Yeah.
And then the depth is 90 centimeters down.
Mm.
You buy that black plastic we use for foundation when you are building.
Yeah.
You put it on top and cover it nicely.
Yeah.
You put in sand, 1 liter of sand, and 1 liter cow dung.
Yeah.
And put in water. Water you can put in up to 70 centimeters.
Mm.
And you throw in your Azora. The only thing Azora doesn't like is too much exposure to the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So what you do, if you want to have immediate impact, you just buy this inexpensive net
yeah.
and you cover it on top.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily have to cover it on the side, but if you cover it on the side, you are likely to get your result immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Say within a 1 day, it will already start multiplying.
So maybe, let's just explain, what is the biggest mistake a beginner will make when actually trying to grow Azola?
The mistake one could make is to put in a lot of cow dung, fertilizer.
Yeah.
It can kill it immediately. It will turn reddish.
Yeah.
And it will die. It will not grow if you put in too much fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, there is hardly anything that I can think of.
Yeah.
The only disadvantage that you can have is when you start feeding your animals, is also if you make it your only feed.
Yeah.
Because it's not supposed to.
Yeah.
It's a supplement.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So you also mentioned fertilizer. Do you need any special chemicals or fertilizer to keep your pond healthy?
Not at all.
Mm.
That's why it's organic. Those are the only two ingredients, sand and fertilizer and cow dung.
Mm-hmm.
Why cow dung is natural is because of the intake, because it's forage, isn't it?
Yeah.
Junk in, junk out.
All right. So the other things, people always worried about, you know, in invasive plants that you know, getting from somewhere else. Is Azola safe for our environment anywhere in Namibia?
Azola is very much safe. It has been proven that it's safe as we speak.
Yeah.
We have placed it in front of the Ministry of Agriculture.
Yeah.
In order for them to approve it as a feed, in Namibia, it's something that we have proven it to ourselves, and we are satisfied that it can be rolled out anywhere in Namibia. Yes, during winter now, it grows slowly. Like too much exposure to the cold.
Yeah.
But it will grow. But during summertime, it's perfect.
So it grows much faster.
To the environment.
So it grows much faster in summer rather than in winter.
Yes.
Okay.
But it's not harmful at all.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about whether it's harmful to human or not.
Yeah.
But it's not harmful to human.
Okay.
But I'm not saying consume it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's not harmful.
Yeah. All right. We will come back in a short while. We're just for a second, quickly. Just hold on.
Okay.
Mbaya riri omba nai epetlawe dako ombumi kire ombe ombi hukusha Njiviro yoye iriri ombupu o hatane na wina ikare no mafa kumurungu wa indu Walirongere kusha umune ondengu okuura kwe imba Una oviune vya peke o rondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwezi Po pwika ovingi no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva Olo peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva Olo peresente umurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva Olo peresente umirongo ivari na dano Miedo mulongwa na vivari moshimarifu. Itororera ondengu tima yungura na wakove na wina wanyano kife. Ashiesho imba yekupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno owe uhaka enina. Itako na wina rishangita jinoni.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. I'm talking to Tate Walenga. And if a listener actually want to start a small bucket of Azolla tomorrow, where do they get it?
Thank you very much for that.
Yeah.
That's indeed a good question.
Mm.
We are the prime supplier of Azolla in Namibia now. I don't know if there are any other players, but for now I can safely say we are the only suppliers in Namibia.
Yeah.
And we are selling a 50 gram.
Yeah.
You only pay $500 for a 50 gram.
Mm-hmm.
And we can courier anywhere in Namibia. They can, the question maybe is, where are you? Yes, our farm is in Ondangwa.
Yeah.
But you can call me anytime. I will be able to organize. If you pay, I will be able to organize to courier it to you. Wherever you are in Namibia.
Yeah.
That's if you are starting with 500. Now, there are some people, and we have already done it to, I think, five farmers who are big.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted bigger ponds.
Yeah.
And you just multiply the size of your pond by 500 grams.
Yeah.
We'll be able together to advise each other as to how many grams of Azolla you would need, depending on your pocket, basically, depending on how big of a pond you want to come up with.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And if someone is...
$500.
Okay. And if someone is interested and want to come and see how it works, are you open to visitors?
We are very much open to visitors, but you see, with farming also, as much as we are open to visitors, it's something you cannot do every day.
Yeah.
Where you have people coming in every day just to come and see.
Mm.
So we are working on an open day that we want to, we're looking at next Saturday, but we want people to register.
Mm-hmm.
How do you register? You register by calling me.
Okay.
And my number, can I say my number?
Yeah, you can say it. I can say it, yeah.
Okay. My number is 0811-273622.
Right.
0811-273622. We also have a WhatsApp page called Azolla Namibia. Yeah. We also have a Facebook page called Azolla Namibia. Otherwise, I can send you information anytime on your WhatsApp, wherever.
Mm.
We we believe in spreading information. Yes, somebody was saying, but why are you selling this information? You are supposed to make a killing out of that. No, it's not about me.
Yeah.
It's about our community. We are paying too much money for nothing.
Yeah.
For some of this feed.
Mm.
If we can cut it, it's better and good for our animal health in Namibia. It should not be an exclusive club.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't believe also in competition, that I don't believe that there is competition in farming. No. Yeah. You get Azora to produce many other products. I am producing products, feeding the very same market in a different way.
Yeah.
So I don't believe in that type of competition where you become selfish. No, I'm not programmed like that.
Yeah. Now, talking about the health of our animals, looking ahead, what is your big dream of Azola in this country?
Well, my dream is for every household.
Hmm.
Every household to have a pond of Azola.
Mm-hmm.
For as long as you have your 3 goats, your 5 chicken, and your donkey, which you make use of as a transport.
Yeah.
Any type of animal that you have in your house, ideally, all of us must have Azola.
Mm.
So that we can be able just to scoop from the pond and directly you feed your animals. That's my dream. And for every farmer to have a pond big enough to feed your animals also. In that way, you cut cost on the feed. And the cost and the saving you are making from the feed, you will be able to plow it back into your farm, probably grow it bigger by buying more animals or properly fence off your farm.
Mm.
And the benefits are endless when you cut your cost. All of a sudden, you will also be able to pay for university for your kids.
Yeah.
And education, let's just say to pay for education. It doesn't matter whether it's primary or tertiary.
Yeah. And in general,
you know, our government has done a great job too.
Yeah.
Now universities are free, but if you send to South Africa or anywhere in the world, you will pay.
Mm. So now in general, you know, where do you see, because feed in Namibia, it's very costly. So where do you see the future of livestock feeding in Namibia really heading?
Okay. Thank you for that question.
Mm.
Let's look at it this way. Those of us who are in the communal area, especially in the north.
Yeah.
And I've seen everywhere else it's like that. I have friends who are in Omaheke region or Chovanjupa, and the story is the same.
Mm.
That yes, we have received good rains this year. Yeah?
Yeah.
However, for some reason, the rain was not good enough for us to have enough grass.
Grass, yeah. Mm.
We don't know what happened. I don't know if you have experienced it. I've seen it with my own eyes in Mangeti area.
Yeah.
Kamunomwibi. Now, what does that mean?
Mm.
It means our cattle are going to die.
Yeah.
We are facing a dry spell.
Mm.
And the impact of the dry spell is directly on the animals.
Yeah.
And once the animals die, it will take probably 10 years in order for us to recover as a country. Mm. I'm saying, let us regard those cattle we have as an investment.
Mm.
As a country, we are going to take longer to recover if they die now. However, if you give it a supplement, if you were to lose 10, God forbid, maybe you can only lose 1 or 2 or nothing at all.
Yeah.
Because there is enough supplement for your cattle. Oshikwa Moshidi, Mara, opongobe ikapidea leko shiko wita ibu waro kujo shiko shwa shike.
Yeah.
That's why wali haijo omuizi ita ijo shikwa. But now there is no grass to forage on. Hence we are saying let's try to feed them with Azora.
And earlier on you spoke about that we can actually harvest and store that as well, you know?
And store it as well. Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for that reminder.
Yeah. So Tata Walenga, if there is one thing I think for me you define innovation. For me you really define innovations. I really would like to thank you for coming on the show this morning. This has been really truly eye open. I would like to give callers also a chance to come through and see what they have to say. You know, it sounds like Azolla is not just a plant, but a real tool for survival and success of our farmers. So thank you so much for coming in and sharing your experience and showing us that there are always a new way to adapt and thrive.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Yeah.
This is a floating revolution called Azolla.
Mm.
Let's do it.
All right. Thank you, Tate.
Thank you.
All right. That was Tate Walenga. You know, really, as I said, that was an eye open for you and me. As I said, it sounds like Azolla is the way forward. And so please do come through. So we have about, we still have about 19 minutes. I'm leaving some minutes to respond to all the stories that we have covered so far. We talked about Azolla. We just finished an interview with Tate Walenga. So we also, I had also earlier on, my colleague, Hande, also have an interview. It was on the, on financing green initiatives. So if you want to comment or to react to any of this, we're coming to you through from Ondangwa Studio, 0833-66091, 0833-66091 is the number you can dial. So all right, so yeah, I will be waiting for you. 0833-66091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, our time is about 43 minutes past the hour of 9. We still have about a few minutes before we bring this show to the end. As I said, I was talking to Tate Walenga about Zola, is Azolla Namibia. So it's the highly, as you heard himself talking about it, it's a highly nutritious and sustainable feed for your livestock. So, yeah, and there are quite a lot of advantages from Azolla, as you have mentioned. He talks about it has a higher nutritious value. The ruminant feed, it's a ruminant feed that is actually rich in protein, 19 to 35%. So, and the nutrient dense and is highly digestible for livestock. So it's also rich in essential amino acid for overall animal growth and health. So it's rich in calcium, potassium, vitamin A and vitamin B12. So magnesium, and it's fully, one thing about that is it's fully organic product, free from, genetically modified products that much of the feeds that you probably get are mixed off with. So, yeah, it improves productivity, as he mentioned it, when it comes to meat and milk. And it improved also, it improves the weight, it improves the weight gain in your poultry, in your sheep, in your goat, in your cattle. So, yeah, in your animals. So, and also it improves average daily yield, from livestock. So, as you can see, there are so much advantages. And and if you wanna know more, you can call Tatualenga, and his cell phone number is 08 11 11 273 622. So that's the number for more information. And you can go to their Facebook. I think it's a Facebook and a WhatsApp group. Facebook is Azolla Namibia, and a WhatsApp group is also Azolla Feed Namibia. So, yeah. So you can then, find more. All right. So 08333-66091, 08333-66091, if you want to react to any of these stories and interview that we had this morning. So 08333-66091.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM,
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right. Maybe let's also go back earlier on. Some of the issues that came out of the SONA, that come out of the state of address from the president. We talked about the economic growth. Yeah, but there were also some issues that actually came out, Yeah, so one of that is mining. Mining is one of the issue the president actually touched on. This is where now the big money is coming from. It's like mining has become like we have the brave gladiator who have won the Kosafa Cup. So we'll be now praising that child. Because of what they have. Now, the mining now, when we talk about, in terms of mining now, it's one of those, it's where the big money is coming from, for Namibia. So the mining sector pulled in more than 64.7 billion in export earning. So in the 2025-2026, financial year. So that's big money, 64.7 billion. Now that's a serious, as I said, that's a serious money. Here's the headline that caught everyone's attention. So the uranium and gold have now overtaken diamond as Namibia top mineral export. So these are now the mineral that have actually taken over the diamond. So uranium production alone was up to 22% in the first 10 months of 2025. 22%. So this is happening because of a global demand for nuclear energy. So that demand is really surging, you know, in the world, in the globe, there's this, the global demand really for nuclear energy is becoming more and more. And Namibia being the second, or are we third? It's one of the two. I don't know whether we are second or third. Being the second or third largest uranium producer in the world, you know, is actually perfectly positioned to cash in. We are perfectly positioned to cash in. So gold is also riding higher on the back of global uncertainty. You know, when there is always uncertainty, when the world get nervous, investor rush where? They rush to gold. So they immediately rush to gold. And our gold sector is benefiting from that. You know, it's actually benefiting from that. And on the other hand, you know, diamond prices have been falling. The reason be, and the president even mentioned yesterday, because of lab-grown diamond are flooding the market. So the lab-grown diamonds are flooding the market. And the problem is that this is a structural shift. You understand? There are those sometimes where you say, well, this is just a temporal dip and things would improve. No. This is a structural shift. So it's not a temporal dip. And it tells us something important. So our economy must be ready. Okay? It must be ready to adapt because the global market do not actually wait for everybody. You know, it doesn't wait for anyone. And you can see that. You can also look if we were producing oil. Okay? If we were producing oil, you know, look at what happened. You know, the conflict started in the Middle East. So could have been in our advantage anyway if we're producing oil already. But you know that anything could happen that would actually changes the environment. So that's why I said the global market do not wait for anyone. So we need to be, you know, our economy must be ready really to adapt. Okay? But here is the truth, okay? Here is the truth about our mining sector. Now, it generates wealth, enormous wealth. It does. But it does not generate enormous employment. We talk about that it generates enormous wealth, but it doesn't generate enormous employment. You know, yesterday we were talking about pottery, and I was talking that's actually labor intensive. Mining is what they call capital intensive, you know, not labor intensive. So the sector contributed 1.4 billion in royalties. Okay? Which sounds good until you compare. Now, you compare, what did I mention earlier? So until you compare it now to the 64.7 billion in export earning, compare that. So 1.4 billion in royalties and tax revenue. So now compare that to 64.7 billion in export earning. And the other things, you know what, one thing I was saying earlier that, you know, these averages and numbers sometimes misleading. And you have now, let's say, for example, your president saying, we, you know, 64, the mining has actually brought in about, we have 64.7 billion in export earning. So then you think, oh, we have, that money is not ours. That's not our money. That's the money of the owner, yeah, of that mining, you know, of that mine. So ours is 1.4 billion in royalties and tax revenue. 64.7 billion in export earnings. So in terms of the country growth, as we talk about, you know, it definitely sometimes is lead in terms of, you know, and when that is a, when you look at that is a royalty rate of about 2.1%. 2.1%. Now, the question for us as citizens is, and this is what we should be doing as citizens, are we getting a fair share of our own, you know, natural resources? Really, are we getting a fair share? And that should be the question of our lawmakers. Are we getting enough share, a fair share of our own natural resources? Are the contract and agreement working in Namibia's favor? Are they? These are the conversation we need to be having loudly and openly. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpack Your Body.
Dr. Mike.
Yebo.
Good morning.
Good morning, man. How are you?
I'm okay. Sorry to come later because you guys were off a bit.
Oh.
Yeah, it was off in the window.
Oh, man. Yeah. So we still have about 5 minutes. You can go on. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I don't know if you are talking about the budget or...
Any, you can focus on anything because we talk about the budget a little bit. We talk about the the financing, the green financing by Hende. And also we talked about Azola with Mr. Walenga. Yeah. Anywhere you want to start.
Yeah, I think I will go with the budget.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the thing is that when you look at the budget, and especially the president was talking about the sun yesterday.
Yeah.
And you look the achievements, and you look the thing which we are targeting, is that we are targeting a lot of things, but yet some of them even we didn't achieve anything. Right. And we are saying that we are kind of like celebrating, but we are not even yet there.
Yeah.
We are talking about even like youth who are beneficial. They say 200 something. But if you look at the 200 something, then it's a drop in the ocean.
Yeah. Have you ever made any dent at all?
Nothing at all, my friend. We are not even supposed to celebrate 200 people beneficial. No. We're supposed to take, to say massively, maybe half of what? Half of a million, maybe, yeah, and then we can say, yes, at least we try. But if you are thinking about 200 people beneficial, no, man, that's nothing at all. Yeah. Okay, now we are even talking about...
One thing in saying that, I'm actually agree with you in terms of, like, sometimes we don't put, we as citizens, when we hear this, we don't put this in perspective. So when a person saying we help, let's say for example 200 new entrepreneurs, you know, it looks like we can now clap hands and say, okay, that's great, but the thing is that you're talking only what happened within this period of time, but we're talking that we are actually at the backlog of what we supposed to be have done,
you know,
from 5 years already. You know, what we're doing right now, it's actually nothing at all, because we are not even close to what we should have done.
You know,
when we're talking about, look at it in an overall picture, when you're talking about Vision 2030, you know, you look at it from that. What were our goal? What were our target? And how far are we?
Did we reach even 1% of it?
Yeah. And if you're telling me, for example, the other time we were talking, I said, okay, when President Pahamba launched the mass housing, it was about planning to build 140 something thousand houses.
Yeah.
At the end of his term, we only built about 4,000.
And now we are talking about like 100 the achievement that come out, they give 100 housing across their country. Just imagine.
Now, when a person mentioned, now we built about 100 houses, now would you celebrate? And now, would you now, oh, now we have achieved something? No, we are far not away from what we need to achieve. That's not an achievement. You know,
not at all. This is a thing with, I think we're not supporting him to separate at all.
No, that's not
right. Nothing end, but we're not supporting him like, no, we're supporting every question mark.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. And when it comes to, you know, when you're talking about like what, the income.
And the things, this has nothing to do with the president. Mm-hmm. It's not like this is a criticism of the president.
No.
Some of the things are coming from
the inherited.
Yeah,
the inherited,
some are coming from other administrations. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing also, sometimes also we need to question it because, you know, once you know your success, they didn't do achievements. What we need is what we are going to do, the plan for you, not to follow the full step.
Yeah.
You know, we are clapping hands when she take over, because all of us, we are like, yes, this is what we need. Now she's going back, appointing even the deputies. You see? Now, if you have a deputy who are spending 5.5 million a year, and you are here increasing the social grant for with 100. My friends, what are you telling us? There was no money, but we had money for to pay the deputies.
Yeah.
No, there's a lot of questions, Michael, we have.
Okay, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And, okay, quickly, when you are talking about the Candle Grove, GDP, she's talking about now we are achieving what we are. We are somewhere about billions. Now, when you look at this, is that what I'm saying? Every time we guys, we never question what, who will really benefiting out of those billions which you are always talking about.
Exactly.
Which we achieve. We are having what foreign currency and what. But if you look in the reality, these monies are recycling in the what? To the people who are already have.
This is what I was saying earlier, that if we are celebrating that we are rich, you know, saying, yeah, this is how much we are making and we're celebrating that, then that should be reflected in our life as well. Yeah?
Exactly.
We should be then showing that we are rich. So we can't just celebrate we are rich, but we're not showing that in our pocket.
Yeah? Exactly. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And when you look at even they are talking about even energy.
Yeah.
Like a non power. You wonder now, because now at least maybe they are realizing now that they need to do also to come up with your biomass. And I'm always been advocating this. I said, no, even as we are living in the outskirts of Window, guys, Goriakab Dam again, one of the what pouring the Katutu location.
Yeah.
But nobody's doing anything. But she talked about it, and I think this is where they need to push the NAMPOWER to do something. Because NAMPOWER now is like a what kind of a middleman who go and look after, I mean, who look for electricity where to distribute to the to the nation. Which is not supposed to be there like that, because NAMPOWER is going to ESCOM, going to Zimbabwe, instead of them to set up the foundation, in the desert there we have a wind power. I mean, we're supposed to have wind power, we're supposed to have a solar panel, but NAMPOWER is nothing after how many years?
Mandume, let's do that tomorrow, man.
All right, my brother. Sorry for coming late.
Okay, great.
Sure.
All right. So, yeah, wrapping up this segment, and especially on what we're talking about now. First, yes, the economy has grown to 270 billion, and that is worth of acknowledging. Yes. But growth alone is not development. Growth is not development. And it's certainly not justice. Certainly not justice. With unemployment at that 7%, young youth are jobless at 44%, poverty still above 27%, the number tells us that growth is not reaching everyone equally. And that's why I said, it's certainly not justice. Okay? So our tax to GDP ratio of 30.5% is very impressive. Eh? It's very impressive by African standard. And it means government has more resources. What it means then, it means that the government has more resources to work with. That's what it means. Yeah? So then don't turn around and say, oh, there's a physical pressure in terms of, you know, no, it means the government have resources to work with. So, but Namibian must hold their leaders accountable for how that money is spent. That means sometimes the problem would be in how we spend that money. Every dollar collected should translate into a better service, more opportunities, and a real improvement in people's life. That's all what we ask. Is that too much to ask? So thirdly, the mining remain our economic engine. Okay, especially uranium and gold, which have now overtaken the diamond. So, but this engine creates relatively few jobs. Eh? It creates a really few jobs. While also now, the problem is this. This is also extracting enormous wealth out of our country. So we must ask questions about whether we are getting a fair value from our natural resources. And whether we are investing now this money, this mining loyalties, into sectors that can create mass employment. Where does that money go? It had to go into sectors that create mass employment. And finally, before I hand over, so agriculture and fishing remain the quiet giant of employment. These are the employment, this is where the employment, where we have a lot of employment. Where, you know, sustaining millions of Namibians. So this sector deserves far more investment. They deserve far more protection and policy attention as well than the typical what they receive now. So without them, our rural community would actually collapse. So the story of Namibia's economy is a story of potential. But potential alone does not feed families. It does not create jobs. It does not build hospitals. Like what Kanjengo used to say, only deliberate, honest, and people-centered policy can do that. And that, my fellow Namibian, is the real state of our nation. So, what do you think? So, you can discuss that. You know, wherever you find yourself, with your colleagues, with your wife, with your husband, with your children, we need to have this conversation. So let me leave you in the hands. I have taken up much of his time already. So yes, Tate Frans, over to you. And let's do this again tomorrow at the same time from 8 to 10 o'clock. I'm Mike Oshavelli. I wish you a pleasant day ahead. Goodbye for now.
Omutiha kutekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandithomwa yoe yonge shifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, konaraje tatu imu. Datu, heari jamano tano, oniaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?